Hey boo.
We're continuing Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 10. So Harry just got a hold of the Marauder's map. What did he have to do? He pulled out the map again, and to his astonishment, a new ink figure had appeared on it, labeled Harry Potter. This figure was standing exactly where the real Harry was standing, about halfway down the third corridor. Harry watched carefully. His little ink self appeared to be tapping the witch with his minute wand. Harry took out his real wand and tapped the statue. Nothing happened. He looked back at the map. The tiniest speech bubble had appeared next to his figure. The word inside said, Descendium. Descendium, Harry whispered, tapping the stone witch again. At once, the statue's hump opened wide enough to admit a fairly thin person. Harry quickly glanced up and down the corridor, then tucked the map away again, hoisted himself through the hole headfirst, and pushed himself forward. He slid a considerable way down what looked like a stone slide, then landed on a cold, damp earth. He stood up, looking around. It was pitch dark. He held his wand up, muttered Lumos, and saw that he was in a very narrow, long, earthy passageway. He raised the map, tapping it again with the tip of his wand, and muttered, Mischief managed. The map went blank at once. He folded it carefully, tucked it beneath inside his robes, then, heart beating fast, both excited and apprehensive, he set off. The passage twisted and turned, more like the burrow of a giant rabbit than anything else. Harry hurried along it, stumbling now and then on uneven floor, holding his wand out in front of him. It took ages, but Harry had the thought of honeydukes to sustain him. After what felt like an hour, the passage began to rise. Panting, Harry sped up, his face hot, his feet very cold. 10 minutes later, he came to the foot of some worn stone steps, which rose out of sight above him. Careful not to make any noise, Harry began to climb. 100 steps, 200 steps. He lost count as he climbed, watching his feet. Then, without warning, his head hit something hard. It seemed to be a trapdoor. Harry stood there, massaging the top of his head and listening. He couldn't hear any sounds above him. Very slowly, he pushed the trapdoor open and peered over the edge. He was in a cellar, which was full of wooden crates and boxes. Harry climbed out of the trapdoor and replaced it. It blended so perfectly with the dusty floor that it was impossible to tell it was there. Harry crept slowly toward the wooden staircase that led upstairs. Now he could definitely hear voices, not to mention the tinkle of a bell and the opening and shutting of a door. Wondering what he ought to do, he suddenly heard a door open much closer at hand. "And get another box of jelly slugs, dear. They've nearly cleaned us out," said a woman's voice. A pair of feet was coming down the staircase. Harry left behind an enormous crate and waited for the footsteps to pass. He heard the man shifting boxes against the opposite wall. He might not get another chance. Quickly and silently, Harry dodged out of his hiding place and climbed the stairs. Looking back, he saw an enormous backside and a shiny bald head buried in a box. He reached the door at the top of the stairs, slipped through it, and found himself behind the counter of honeydukes. He ducked, crept sideways, and then straightened up. Honeydukes was so crowded with Hogwarts students that no one looked twice at Harry. He edged among them, looking around, and suppressed a laugh as he imagined the look that would spread over Dudley's piggy face if he could see where Harry was now. There were shelves upon shelves of the most succulent-looking sweets imaginable. Creamy chunks of nougat, shimmering pink squares of coconut ice, fat, honey-colored toffees, hundreds of different kinds of chocolate in neat rows. There was a large barrel of every flavor beans, and another of fizzing whizbees, the levitating sherbet balls that Ron had mentioned. Yet another wall were special effects sweets, Drubal's best-blowing gum, which filled a room with blueberry-colored bubbles that refused to pop for days. The strange, splintery, tooth-flossing string mints, tiny black pepper imps, breathe fire for your friends, ice mints, hear your teeth chatter and squeak, peppermint creams shaped like toads, hop realistically in the stomach, fragile sugar-spun quills and exploding bonbons. Harry squeezed himself through a crowd of 60-years and saw a sign hanging in the farthest corner of the shop, Unusual Tastes. Ron and Hermione were standing under it, examining a tray of blood-flavored lollipops. Harry sneaked up behind them. No, Harry won't want any of those. They're for vampires, I expect, Hermione was saying. How about these, said Ron, shoving a jar of cockroach clusters under Hermione's nose. Definitely not, said Harry. Ron nearly dropped the jar. Harry, squealed Hermione, what are you doing here? How did you... Wow, said Ron, looking very impressed. You've learned to apparate. Of course I haven't, said Harry. He dropped his voice so that none of the 6th-years could hear him, and he told them about the Marauder's Map. How come Fred and George never gave it to me? Said Ron, outraged. I'm their brother. But Harry isn't going to keep it, said Hermione, as though the idea were ludicrous. He's going to hand it to Professor McGonagall, aren't you, Harry? No, I'm not, said Harry. Are you mad? Said Ron, goggling at Hermione. Hand in something that good. If I hand it in, I'll have to say where I got it, Harry said. Filch would know Fred and George had nicked it. But what about Sirius Black? Hermione hissed. He could be using one of the passages on that map to get into the castle. The teachers have got to know. He can't be getting in through a passage, said Harry quickly. There are 7 secret tunnels on the map, right? Fred and George reckon Filch already knows about 4 of them. And of the other 3, one of them's caved in, so no one can get through. One of them's got the whomping willow planted over the entrance, so you can't really get out of it. And the one I just came through, well, it's hard to see the entrance to it down the cellar, so unless he knew it was there... Harry hesitated. What if Black did know it was there? Ron, however, cleared his throat significantly and pointed to a notice pasted on the inside of the sweet shop door. By order of the Ministry of Magic, customers are reminded that until further notice, Dementors will be patrolling the streets of Hogsmeade every night after sundown. This measure has been put into place for the safety of Hogsmeade's residents and will be lifted upon the recapture of Sirius Black. It is therefore advisable that you complete your shopping well before nightfall. Merry Christmas. See, said Ron quietly, I'd like to see Black try and break into Honeydukes with Dementors swarming over the village. Anyway, Hermione, the Honeydukes owners would hear a break-in, wouldn't they? They live over the shop. Yes, but, Hermione seemed to be struggling to find another problem. Look, Harry shouldn't be here. He hasn't got a signed form. If anyone finds out, he'll be in so much trouble. And it's not nightfall yet. What if Sirius Black turns up today? Now? He'd have a job spotting Harry in this, said Ron, nodding through the mullioned windows at the thick, swirling snow. Come on, Hermione, it's Christmas. Harry deserves a break. Hermione bit her lip, looking extremely worried. Are you going to report me? Harry asked her, grinning. Oh, of course not, but honestly, Harry. Seen the fizzing whizbees yet, Harry? Said Ron, grabbing him and leading him over to the barrel. And the jelly slugs? And the acid pops? Fred gave me one of those when I was 7. It burnt a hole right through my tongue. Remember Mum walloping him with her broomstick. Ron stared broodingly into the acid pop box. Reckon Fred'd take a bit of the cockroach cluster if I told him they were peanuts. When Ron and Hermione had paid for all their sweets, the 3 of them left Honeydukes for the blizzard outside. Hogsmeade looked like a Christmas card. The little thatched cottages and shops were all covered with a layer of crisp snow. There were holly wreaths on the doors and strings of enchanted candles hanging on the trees. Harry shivered. Unlike the other 2, he didn't have his cloak. They headed up the street, and their heads bowed against the wind. Ron and Hermione shouted through their scarves. That's the post office. Zonko's is up there. We could go up to the 3 shrieking shack. Tell you what, said Ron, his teeth chattering. Shall we go for a butterbeer at the 3 broomsticks? Harry was more than willing. The wind was fierce and his hands were freezing, so they crossed the road and in a few minutes they entered a tiny inn. It was extremely crowded, noisy, warm, and smoky. A curvy sort of woman with a pretty face was serving up a bunch of rowdy warlocks up at the bar. "That's Madame Rosemerta," said Ron. "I'll get the drink, shall I?" he added, going slightly red. Harry and Hermione made their way to the back of the room, where there was a small vacant table between the window and a handsome Christmas tree, which stood next to a fireplace. Ron came back 5 minutes later, carrying 3 foaming tankards of hot butter beer. "Merry Christmas," he said, happily raising his tankard. Harry drank deeply. It was the most delicious thing he'd ever tasted, and seemed to heat every bit of him from the inside. A sudden breeze ruffled his hair. The door of the 3 broomsticks had opened again. Harry looked over the rim of his tankard and choked. Professors McGonagall and Flitwick had just entered the pub with a flurry of snowflakes, followed shortly by Hagrid, who was deep in conversation with a portly man in a lime-green bowler hat and a pinstriped cloak, Cornelius Fudge, the Minister of Magic. In an instant, Ron and Hermione had placed both hands on the top of Harry's head and forced him off his stool and under the table. Dripping with butterbeer and crowded out of sight, Harry clutched his empty tankard and watched the teacher's and Fudge's feet move toward the bar, pause, then turn and walk right towards him. Somewhere above him, Hermione whispered, "Mobiliarbus!" The Christmas tree beside their table rose a few inches, drifted sideways, and landed with a soft thump right in front of their table, hiding them from view. Staring through the dense lower branches, Harry saw 4 sets of chair legs move back from the table right beside theirs, then heard the grunts and sighs of the teachers and the minister as they sat down. Next, he saw another pair of feet wearing sparkly turquoise high heels and heard a woman's voice.
"A small gillywater?"
"Mine," said Professor McGonagall's voice.
4 pints of mulled mead?"
"Taro Mazur's Merta," said Hagrid.
"A cherry syrup and soda with ice and umbrella?"
"Mmm," said Professor Flitwick, smacking his lips. "So that'd be you with a red currant rum, Minister?
"Thank you, Rosemerta, my dear," said Fudge's voice. "Lovely to see you again, I must say. Have one yourself, won't you? Come and join us."
"Well, thank you very much, Minister."
Harry watched the glittering heels march away and back again. His heart was pounding uncomfortably in his throat. Why hadn't it occurred to him that this was the last weekend of the term for the teachers, too? And how long were they going to sit there? He needed time to sneak back into Honeydukes if he wanted to return to the school tonight. Hermione's leg gave a nervous twitch next to him. Hang on, let me see. I think we will stop here and we'll hear what their conversation is about tomorrow. My voice is starting to go.
I love you so much, Boo, and I can't wait because I will see you tomorrow. Because you're my sweet Boo. You're so wonderful. I can't wait to see you. I'm going to curl up with you. I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to hold you. And we can fall asleep together. I love you, Boo. Good night.